When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hej och välkommen tillbaka till Ridsportpodden med systrarna Bergåkra. Och återigen så är jag solo den här gången med enbart mig själv, Cecilia Bergåkra, i podden idag. Emilia sitter på andra sidan Atlanten och ser nog väldigt mycket fram emot det här avsnittet, tror jag. Mm. Så idag har jag med en fantastisk gäst hela vägen från Spanien. Vi har precis haft en helt underbar helg här i Hälsingland, där vi har haft clinics med oss och våra naturlärarelever med det största topicet utav allt, horsemanship, och har gjort otroligt mycket praktiskt med våra hästar under 3 dagar här. So, hello David!
Hej, mitt hjärta sprid och eviga längtan.
So good, good! Hey. Welcome to the podcast!
Nice, nice to be with you.
Thank here. You. Yeah, we start directly. Super. Can you tell me about yourself?
Yeah, well, about myself, I'm 35. I'm from Spain. I was born in Toledo, it's in the center of Spain, and I was related to farming like a lot of time of my life, and now I'm living in Malaga and I'm related to horsemanship there.
Okay, so you work only with horses?
Yeah, I'm related to horses 24 hours, 7 weeks, seven
yeah.
days a week.
Yeah. And how is your business going, you know? What are your business about?
So my business, it's difficult to explain because I'm related to horses, but not in a way that people really know. I'm not related to any sport. I'm only related to the horse because for me it's like the horse makes activity, and most people is related to the activity and I'm related to the horse. I mean, I'm related to his emotions, to his sensation, to how a horse feel, and to help the horse. And then there's other people who train just the sport. Mm. I don't know if you get my idea.
Yeah, for sure. But can you tell me a little bit, how did you grow up? Can you be a little bit more exact? You grew up in a big family, or?
I grew up in a family. Just my grandfather was related to animals. I follow his direction in life, and I'm so proud of him. So he breed horses and he breed cows. He had a big farm. Mm. So for me, this is the most important part of my life. I've been related to animals since I was a child. And for me, this animal instinct is what made me different while working with horses.
Mm. Nice. And you told me just before we started the podcast that before you had about 10 horses by yourself. Lusitanos?
Yeah, we breed first at the beginning when I was like too young, we breed the Spanish horses, and then we moved to Lusitanos horses for dressage. Mm. And now I have quarter horses myself.
Yeah, and do you do any competitions or only training in Leicester?
Yeah, I do competitions, but just once a year because Western in Spain is not so crowd.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So, but I try to do one competition a year and just for fun, you know. I'm not related to competition.
No. Mm-hmm. That's nice. So you get horses from other horse owners, right?
Yeah.
And you get them for being problematic?
Yeah.
Or? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like to say that I'm related to problematic horses. I'm just related to help horses. There's too many people who bring me horses that they are good in their sport, but they have like problems of behavior. They are reactive. They are afraid of something. And I just take them to my place, to my ranch, and I deal with them, and I solve the situation with too much love. Mm. I really love to help them.
Mm. Yeah, because we have had you here for a weekend now, 3 days, and it has been amazing and so inspirational. Can you tell me a little bit, when you meet a horse for the first time, where do you begin?
So when I meet a horse for the first time, it's just the way I work. I just make the horse questions. For me, the most important part is like, wait, have a good timing, wait for the right moment to do so many things and to keep on going on. And that's what I did here. We started a lot of new horses, and I think you saw the result.
Mm.
And it's like, I love that the energy always is in a good mood, but not because we have low energy. I like to be able to put pressure to them, to go back to calm, and this is the way I work.
Mm. And when we talk about other kind of persons that break in horses or have a business with young horses, we talk about that it can be a little bit too fast sometimes, the education. How do you feel about that?
You mean that we start...
The development, you know, people are going very fast. You have been so calm with each horse, even if we had been proceeding very successfully in a short time.
But for me, like to go slow is go fast at the end. Mm-hmm. For me, the problem is not about being fast or being slow. For me, the problem is like most people that I know, that cannot be everyone, but most people that I know, when they start a horse, they go directly to sport.
Mm.
And when I start a horse, I just focus on the horse, and you saw how many things I do, but I just focus on the horse. So I'm not related to a sport. I don't use bit, I don't use snaffle, I don't use saddle. It's just I focus on the horse, I go up, and then I set a good base to keep on going in the sport or in whatever, you know?
Yeah, because I actually got very impressed by... Yes, what you said. No bit, no saddle, nothing. Hmm. Just only a rope halter, and you also did without. But I do with the rope halter. And actually, during this weekend, we don't actually know each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first time I'm meeting you. But still, I wasn't afraid or nervous any of the time. Even if I actually was going up on a horse for the first time for the horse, you know? So... That was kind of magic, you know, that we could have a good connection, and we had it with the horse as well.
Yeah.
That was really interesting. That's it.
Looked like we know each other since a long time,
yeah.
Even if we know each other since just 2 days. But for me, it's like you smell it in the ambience. You feel how the energy is. So looks like when you are taking steps with a horse, it's supernatural. It looks like you're not getting into a dangerous situation, even if from outside looks super dangerous.
Mm.
Because using no tools is like you don't have control.
Mm.
But for me, my base is like, I love have no control. For me, when we help, no.
Yeah.
Sounds fun, but it's not fun. For me, the base is like a young horse don't need to control their emotions. Mm. He need to be able to show his emotions, his emotions. If he wants to run, he need to run. If he wants to express, he need to express.
Yeah.
And I'm just here to help them. And did you realize that when you let them do that and you don't try to stop the horse when he wants to run, the result is super great in a short period?
Yeah. I know it's a bit difficult to explain what we have done in the practical work, but could you try to explain how we started them? Like, we took in the horse in the round pen, and we take off the halter, and we leave you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At the end, it's like I take the horse into the round pen, and I just take everything out. And for me, everything that happens is a present for me.
Mm.
It's like when I go into the round pen, I told you before, I have no expectations. So it's like I don't expect that a horse do something, and then it's easy to catch or to whatever. For me, everything that happens there is a good opportunity to help him, to help them. So I just go into the round pen, take the halter out, deal with them a little bit, and then I put the halter on. and deal with different situations. I set up a good base of talking to them because we don't talk the same language. So I set a common language to be able to deal with situations. And you saw the amount of things I do, like, and for me it's like super easy to go up in a short time. But what I told you that it's important for me also is like, I would never say that I go up on a horse in 1 hour or 2 hours or 30 minutes. It depends on the horse. I just respect the horses and the feedback. They give me the feedback. We did a lot of new horses here and all of them were in the same mood.
Yeah.
And for me, something that it's important here also is that most people make a mistake thinking that because I have no tools, I'm more natural or less natural. For me, it's not about the tools because I can use snaffles also. I can use... I use my spurs always, I use saddles, and for me it's not about the tools, it's about the philosophy that you have when you go into the ramp and when you approach a new horse.
Yeah, because talking about gear, when are you starting then with a snaffle or a saddle? Like, does it depends only, or do you have like a system that, okay, now we have come forward with this without any gear? Now I put the saddle on, or now I put the bit on. What do you choose?
That's a good question, because for me, I start them with no tools. I go up on them, and when they feel good with me up on them, then I go with the tools. The first tool I use is the saddle to make everything comfortable for both. And then I can go with a snaffle when they know what I'm asking with my hands, because with the halter I set two reins, and I deal with them, and when they go with the pressure, not against the pressure, then I'm able to put a snaffle and keep on going. And the snaffle is super important to put their body in shape, to make everything more clear.
Yeah, because I said to you when I took the last horse today, everyone in the podcast knows it's the Dynamite.
Beautiful one.
Yeah, and I have talked about a lot of it in the podcast, like how I have been starting him. And then it's the Swedish model, you know, I start with the gear. I start with a snaffle and I start with a saddle. And for me, it has been really interesting how you can do both. Because we talked about it today, we actually do quite the same things, but in a different way. And it ends up a little bit dissimilar.
So for me, you are telling me the same that I told you, that it's not about tools, it's about philosophy. At the end, what I felt with Dynamite is I felt a super good mood. He's able to learn more things and he's like in a super... His brain is doing super good with you. So for me, even if we do different things, that at the end we are doing the same. If
we
I'm
want
honest,
the same result, as
yeah,
we said.
We have the same result, but we are doing almost the same because at the end it's super simple. It's dealing with their body, checking for the right moment to do things and respecting them.
Yeah. And also for me, it's quite important, and we talked about it earlier, the focus on the horse. You can see it both in the round pen. And as you said, when you take it in the round pen, it's your focus kind of circle, you know. So the thing we are, me and Josephine was discussing it today, that like the round pen needs to go up more often here, because it was the first time we put a round pen in the arena. And it was a very good thing to put them in there and then it's your time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they have the focus at you. You know?
Yeah, and for me, round pen has another super beautiful thing, that is that you can be connected to the horse always. You are in the same spot and you can have the same distance to your horse always. So even if he wants to run, even if he doesn't feel good, you can be there to help him, you know? So this is the most important thing of the round pen. Also is that you can take the tools out, even if when you are up, and you can long the reins, that I like a lot to long the reins and let them deal with their bodies and keep on going forward, you know, in a safe way, you know.
Okay, so I got a question from Emilia from the other side of the Atlantic. And she was asking a very straight question, like, how did you get the trust to stand on the horses?
Oh.
You can take the long answer.
Yeah. I can say also another question for this. How can the horses trust me to go up on them? At the end, it's like a both ways trust. I just have a super good animal instinct because I've been with animals all my life. So I don't know why, but I know exactly the moment to go up on them. Of course, they give us a lot of feedback when you are dealing with them. you can feel them in their body when the muscles are tight, on when the muscles are soft, on when they are going with you, on when they are looking outside, when you are inside. I mean, there's a lot of things that they are telling you, even if they don't talk your language. So if you are able to read this feedback they are giving to you, I think you can do crazy things with horses.
Yeah, and that was a really nice feeling on my three-year-old stallion, the black one we had today. Oh. It was the first time ever in the round pen and first time ever sitting on him. And then we also had a really good connection when I was sitting on him for the first time and you told me, how does it feel? And I, right in that moment, I felt like, oh, now he's a little bit tense in the back, you know. And then you, like, you put him in the left circle, you know.
And back.
Yeah, backwards. And had some rain back. And then we were back on track again. And he was soft and calm. And that's, I think, for our listeners, it's very important to tell them about the timing and also reading the situation.
Yeah.
And as you said, the animal instinct. You know?
And about also that, for me, the first, the most important thing when you train horses is like everything must be safe for you and for the horse, but first for you because you are the one who's helping the horse. And if you die, you cannot help more horses. But when you use no saddles, I'm honest, you feel much more things than with saddles. Even if you are a good rider, saddle is something that you have between you and the horse. So if you take this out, you feel a lot of different feelings. And I really love the feedback you give me. I feel this. So, of course, there are two things important here, that what you're feeling without saddle and the team that we are doing there. That when I'm down, I'm not up to feel something. And if you are up and I'm down, it's like we can do something super special together.
And that was the thing I'm taking with me most, I think, this weekend, and to start without the gear, actually. Because, of course, I started the Dynamite with gear, but for me to feel their back, especially the back, but I also see on the eyes and the ears and also feeling on the breathing, you know. But it's still what you feel in the back and the tension, it's a great way to... Like start.
Another good thing here for me is like what they have in the mouth. For me, I love start horses without a snaffle because they don't focus on the mouth. They don't focus on the pain. So they are like more, they have more willingness to learn because the halter, of course, makes less damage to her, to them, at least the first time. So for me, it's super easy to, even if it's more hard, like to have reins with just a halter, make them go with the pressure is a little bit harder. But I think I help them more with no snaffle the first time than with it.
And you have seen a lot of different horses this weekend. How many horses have we done?
In 3 days, I think we did 28.
Yeah.
I'm completely destroyed.
It's a lot of horses. And what type of personalities have you been seeing? And how... Yeah, tell me about the personalities first, and then I will ask you further.
Okay. I saw, like... two smart horses. I don't remember really the names, but I in my heart, not in my brain, I have three of them. Super smart, super sensitive, super. I mean, I'm in love with them. I told you to bring one home, but you didn't.
No,
you don't allow me. And okay, I found horses that some of them are too much focused on the sport, and they need like more focus on the horse before going to the sport. And I found horses like with super capacities to do big things and to do the sport. And yeah, I saw so many different horses. I found someone like with one ride, also someone with that have never been ridden. So I have so many different scenarios that were incredible for me.
And I want to ask about one special. We had a gelding that you told, and we felt it also, that he's like bored out. You know, he wasn't, you know which one I mean. But I got the look.
I got the look, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
I don't remember the name.
Yeah,
I'm confusing.
But that gelding, like how do you think we should move it further?
Yeah. This is a great question, and for me this is like so deep, the conversation with I get the look. When I met him, I saw a horse that it's like a little bored, that for me What I see the most outside is like people focus on horses. They want the horses to trust the human. But for me, the most important part is that the horse trusts himself.
Mm.
And in this specific case, I got the look, he doesn't trust himself. And he's the typical horse who is like a little, go slow, you have to kick him a lot to make him go forward. And for me, it's like you're correcting always him and you're telling him you're not good.
Mm.
So for me, to keep on going, it's like with this type of horses at home, what I do with them is completely restart them.
Mm.
Start from the beginning. Maybe you have to destroy so many things that he has, but in the long term will be super great with him.
Yeah.
So start as you know how to start a horse now.
Mm.
Start from the beginning and forget everything, because for me it must not be a good relationship if you have a horse who you have to always tell him please go, please go, please go, you know.
Mm.
He looks like bored of working, and for me when I look at him I can see it in his face.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good one. And then I also want to ask you, in your business in Spain, you are taking in, do you say problematic horses, or what kind of horses do you get in the business?
Yeah, problematic is like a weird word. For me, I have horses that don't trust themselves,
mm-hmm.
so they bring me horses from jumping, from dressage, or for me the best part that is horses to start.
Mm.
So the best thing that I have there is like I have a super space there that I can put horses in herds. I can take the shoes out if they have shoes.
Mm.
I can feed them exactly the way I want to feed them. So at the end is I make horses feel like horses.
Mm. And what's the most common problem you see when you are taking in the new horses?
Well, I have so many like typical problems. I have the typical horse that goes over you always, like doesn't know limits.
Mm.
This is super typical.
Mm.
Also, I have the horses like are super reactive, that are super good in the sport, super good trained, super good movements, good technique. But at the end, when they have like tension, they don't go good. When they go to competitions, they are like super reactive. So I really like to try to help these horses.
Mm. Yeah, one question is about how you have been growing up. You're growing up in a big family, you told me, with your grandfather doing a lot of, you know, horses, cows. But how has that formed you until the person you are today?
Yeah, it's been tough because I've been with animals, and at one point of my life I was going to study my university, and I was thinking on turning to a different path. So at the end, for me, what I enjoy the most since I was super, super young is like the farming, being in the animals, being with the animals, being in the countryside. And for me, it's super important to be there, because it's like I told you the other day, I think we are animals inside,
mm-hmm.
and we are so disconnected to this animal part that we have. And for me, it's like the most important part, be connected to the nature, be connected to the animals. And I think we learn a lot from them.
Mm.
When I see horses outside and I see them in herd, like keeping energy inside and being just living the present. And for me, it's what I want in my life.
Mm.
It's how I want to die one day.
Yeah, exactly.
Being calm with everything, just being, not doing anything. You know?
Yeah. And I have one more question about what are you dreaming for in the future? Like, can you take it both privately and in the business and with the horses? What are you dreaming about for the future?
This is a good question. For sure, in the short term, my dream is to be able to come here again, because for me it's been a super nice trip, not only because what we do here, is because I met so many beautiful people here. And for me, what I want in my future is what I have today. I'm able to help horses. It's like I don't ask anymore. I have a beautiful family. I have a beautiful job.
Mm.
When I wake up in the morning, I go to do what I want. I don't need to refill my life with hobbies, because my job is my hobby.
Mm.
So I have my job, my hobby, and my family. So I don't need anything else.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And how many horses do you take in? Is it like per month, or how many horses do you take in from other horse owners?
Mm-hmm.
You have two by yourself.
Yeah,
but, yeah.
I have two that are mine, but I have like I think from 12 to 14 horses, And it depends. There are some of them that I work, because I work in my place and I also go to work outside. I also do my clinics outside. So it's like now I cannot bring any more horses in, but but some of the horses I have, is, they come from a short period, from 2 months. When I start a horse, it's like I do the good base and then someone else do the sport. So it's a good point because I have so many horses coming through the year, you know?
Yeah. And when you get the question from the horse owner that they want to bring the horse to you, do you have like, yeah, they need to be here for at least...
Yeah, of course.
A part of time or...
But this is a weak question because it depends on the owner, it depends on what they want. If the owner is a professional rider who want me to just break the horse, for me, at least to create a super, super good base, is like 1 or 2 months that the horse can be in a herd, can learn from other horses, and then we do the training, super natural. We have a big farm there where the first time that I lope a horse, I canter a horse, I go out, I never do it inside the arena. I mean, I can put a lot of things in the horse's mind there that I cannot do it in just an arena, you know?
So at least 1 to 2 months for a horse that you need to break in.
Yeah, I think. Yeah. I spend so many time on the ground. I mean, when I want to do a super, super great job, I spend a while in the ground, working in the ground to make everything clear. Then I go up. And I think in 2 months, you are able to create a good base that they would never forget. Of course, I break horses in 1 day or 2 days, but at the end, if I want to shine as a professional,
yeah.
I need a little bit more time, you know? And at the end, 2 months for a horse, it's nothing.
It's nothing, no. So that's actually a fast kind of time, but it's very important to take actually this to consideration with the horse owners, so they understand that it takes, just as you said, 1 or 2 months is not that much.
Yeah.
But for a horse owner, it can feel much to put in the money and, you know, everything that. But it's important to tell them.
Of course.
Yeah, and have the connection also with the horse owners, you know.
And I think at the end, if you don't spend this time and you do it good, in the future you have to come back and we'll need double money.
Yeah.
So at the end, if you think in the long term that...
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
which is difficult because you have a specific situation, but thinking in the long term is not easy, but it's clear. And I think owners have to trust the professionals. We know what we have to do, and it's not about money, because I have other horses waiting. So I need your horse to go as soon as I can to get other in. So I'm not, my focus is not take the money of the people, is just help the horses and do a good job.
Yeah, and how does it look? Do you have like a queue, you know, people that are standing in line to put in your horses?
Yeah, of course. I have people with preferences. It's not easy, but of course I have a queue and I try to do it good. Of course, also I have my clinics and I go out, so I have to deal with this situation that is not easy. Because when you go five days out, I have people who help me a little bit, but the horses I take, I try to take and do it everything
yourself,
my own.
Yeah, exactly. That's a very good dialogue there.
Also, I wanted to say what we talked before about the method that I told you, that what I do with horses is like build tolerance, that people, most people, there's people who is afraid that the way I work, because they say, okay, but my horse is too calm and I want them reactive. And I tell them, you're completely confused. I'm building just confidence in him. And if you're a good rider, you will build a good horse. So what I do when I work with horses is like they have a small tolerance to emotions, as if they are kids. When the kids see something hard, they just want to cry. And this is exactly what the horses do. So I just be with them when they want to cry. The horses, when they want to cry, I just be with them. I let them cry. I let them do everything. So they build tolerance to emotions. And then when you go to a competition, when you go to some place, it's like they trust themselves. They are in calm. And even if something happens surrounding them, they know that this thing doesn't go with them, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Because people have been telling, like, if you make the horses this calm that we had seen, like, this weekend, then they can't be in the sport.
Yeah. And will that's he trot good? And for me, it's crazy.
They lose the expression in the gates and everything like that, and they lose the jump. And that's crazy, because for me, this is the groundwork. And that we need that kind of confidence in the horse, like we talked about earlier.
But I can change, like, the direction of this conversation to you. If you are nervous, you will perform hard. Or if you are in calm, are in balance, you will think clear, think fast.
Exactly.
Use your muscles good. At the end, it's exactly the same. But most people is used to see horses like trotting super hard. And I tell them, okay, but your horse is escaping now. He's not trotting the best he can. He can trot much better than this.
Yeah, if he's losing his body and in the muscles
of
and
course.
Also in the brain.
Of course, of course.
And that's one important thing to really talk about with young horses, that you don't lose the expression when the horses are confident. It's the opposite. You can find more expression when they are natural in their body and in the mind.
And I think this is a way of working that in humans, if we talk about sport people, they have it. They have their own coaches and they have their psychotherapy and they work on themselves before going to the sport, because they think that they will have problems in the future. So this is exactly the same. The horse must find himself before going to the sport, and then he will do incredible. If I'm honest, I really trust the way I work horses.
And another question. You are following the sport, like in dressage and jumping, and how do you feel like the breeding? Do they get smarter, or how do you see the breed of, like, the dressage horses, for example? Do you see the breeding? You follow the horses, like, since many years back, how do you see the development further?
I think there are too many lines. There are lines that are just focusing on what we can see and focusing on the shape, because they think the movement come from the shape. And also there are breeders that are doing super smart horses and expressive horses that have a lot inside. I don't know if you are with me. For me, it's super important, of course, the physical part, but for me the brain is the most important thing. And and it's not easy, because when you are doing the genetic part, sometimes you have to focus in one thing and let specific things go out. But for me, if I'm honest, I prefer good brains than good bodies, because with good brains you can do huge things.
That's very important to, like, take into this podcast.
Thank you. And also, I would like to tell you that for me, a good brain, we talked about it before. For me, a good brain is not a horse that tells you yes to everything. For me, a good brain is a horse who make questions that when you don't do good, he tells you super clear, but these horses make better riders. And I think people need to ride these horses to realize the importance of doing good with horses. Mm. Because the horses who say yes to everything, as humans, we are trying to change everything to have also horses like this. But for me, it's not fair to go in this direction.
I think for the horses that only say yes, 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 then it can also be a dangerous game.
Yeah.
Because suddenly they get afraid of something and then you're off, you know?
Yeah. And at the end, if we go to results, I'm super sure that these horses don't go to the top horses. Mm. So we have to think a little bit about it.
Yeah. I will just hear Emilia's question here. But she was telling me, like, how the actual fact how can he be standing on their back in only a halter, and how could you, she was talking to me, how could you trust this process? And I know we have already talked about it, but it's very nice for me because you, in the beginning of this weekend, you worked the horses by yourself and we were only looking. And then we actually had some students going in and they were very, very nervous. I can tell you. Yeah, but a lot of fun. And they were so happy afterwards because they could also feel the connection with the horse, even if it was an unbroken horse or if it was a new one, you know. And then for me, seeing our own horses working with you in the beginning and see how you build the connection. You like moving them. Can you tell a little bit how you you're moving them? You do a rein back, you know.
Yeah, the problem is like when you ask me this question, is like we are going in the direction of the technique, and for sure the technique is important. But for me, the most important part is the philosophy, because with good technique, maybe you cannot help a horse. Mm. So for me, it's like making the right question in the right moment and taking the right steps in the right moment. And maybe this is too deep and difficult to explain, but it's exactly like this. You can make a horse move back, and this can be good for the horse or bad for the horse. It depends on your attitude, on how you do, on when you do, on when you release, on when you start. So it's difficult to answer the question. For me, it's super easy to go.
It's very individual. Yeah.
Yeah, it's you need this instinct. And you need to do a lot of horses to really understand this. Mm. It's like when people ask me, okay, and how can we do? And I tell them, okay, so go and train with horses and write your own book. You know, this is not about reading and about something that I can explain you. I explain you that it's possible to do it. I explain you that you need to create a common language. And this language is disengaging hindquarters, make them go back easy and fluid. When I move a horse back, you show it. I need to have like three different speed, like really slow with more effort and with super happy going back and not fighting, you know. Yeah. Also moving a little lateral, flexing their neck. And when you have these things super clear and they understand, it's like super easy to go up. And in this process where you are creating this common language, they are start focusing on you. And for me, the thing that I'm most proud when I work horses, like they think a lot of me. When I'm working with them, I see them focusing on me, and I think this is the key point.
Mm.
If you are doing good things, but your horse is thinking outside, maybe you have to think, what are you doing?
Yeah, yeah. And about that, you know, you need to write your own book and you need to find the experience by yourself. But in Sweden, we have a nice culture of kids going into the riding school very early, and people are living in the city but can still go to the stable, but not so many are able to have their own horses or going to these big stables and actually being let in to the business, you know. It can be a little bit tricky to find good persons that you're able to trust. What would your recommendation be to start? You know, how should you find this experience and how should you like get to know horses even more?
Yeah. So for me, if I do to my kids, the first thing they need to do if they at one point of their life they want to dedicate to horses is understand animals, not only understand horses. Deal with animals, because at the end, if you see a lot of different type of animals, at the end, all they want is exactly the same. They want respect, even if sometimes we want to reward them with food, and we think that they think that we love them because we give them food. I'm completely opposite to that. I don't think that you just have to look at them, see what they want. And for me, this is super important to understand what's out of the sport. If you are able to understand what's a horse in if possible, in the countryside, where you have to go out to take a horse, to take the horse when it's with other horses and just take one, this gives you a super good experience to then go to a sport and go to training, you know? Mm. So if I have to do it with my kids, I would try to check where's a space that they can do what I'm explaining and try to go to it, you know? Mm. No go. I'm not really sure that the best thing that you can do is go directly to, I want to do dressage.
No.
For me, the ones who do dressage are horses. So first you have to focus in horses. You did it because you have a farm here. Mm. So, and then you can go to the sport.
Mm. Exactly. And I think that's a very important thing to talk about, because we are in Sweden and also in Europe overall, we're very fast into the sport. And for me, like when you begin this weekend with saying that I work with animals because I'm also animal, you know, and we are all animals. That's like a very good meaning to this whole thing, working with horses.
Yeah, and at the end, I'm super honest. When people go to the countryside, they really have a super beautiful experience and they feel like more connected to themselves.
Yeah.
And this is not a specific situation. This is because we are animals, even if we forgot it.
Mm.
Now we are more related to technology, to live in the city, to have parties and these kind of things. But also we don't sleep at night, we have more anxiety.
Mm.
So maybe we have to think about it. And when we connect to the animal we have inside, I'm like talking too deep now, but it's exactly what I think.
Mm.
When we feel the animal we have inside, then we can connect to other things. And with horses, it happens.
Yeah. And one thing I was just now when you talk about technology, you have music on with some of the horses.
Wow.
Yeah,
I'm crazy with music. And yeah. For me, it's like when I work a horse, I create my unique environment, you know? It depends on the type of horse I'm working on. Did you see that the different kinds of music that I'm able to...
Yeah, you take different songs to different horses.
And weird music also. So it depends on how I feel. For me, the most interesting thing when I'm going to work a horse is first be connected to myself. For me, connecting to a horse must not have a goal, never, because for me, it's impossible if you're not connected to yourself, connected to your emotions. Some people are is afraid of feeling bad, and when they go to a horse, I must feel happy because I have a horse and my life is so good, and I'm completely opposite to that.
Mm.
I'm able to help horses even if I'm sad, because in life things happen to us.
Mm.
And when I'm sad, if I play sad music and I connect to this sadness,
mm.
I do super beautiful things.
Mm.
When I'm tired, when I have some specific music for each moment, also for the type of horse. When a horse make me feel something, I'm super fast to check. I want this song. I'm crazy with music.
Yeah.
I listen to music always.
Yeah, can you explain what type of music do you choose to different horses?
Wow, I love like country music. I love piano music. I love classical music. I love. I don't know if you know this instrument, Indian instrument, the sitar.
Yeah,
it's an old instrument.
Yeah.
I really love it because
I heard it with one horse.
Yeah, with your black one.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like I have the music. I have rock music also. When I have a horse that I'm having super fun and we are like going forward.
Mm.
I mean, I have like different types of music, and this is like so inside myself. I not have a method to do that. It depends on the day, but.
Yeah.
I'm with music like 99% of the day.
Mm.
I love to be in my round pen with my horse, with my music, with myself, and just flowing.
Yeah. And that's also a nice thing I saw in the beginning with almost every horse, that you are starting to play with him, with them. Like, yeah, seeing their body language and they can see yours. Like, what do you think about that?
Yeah. For me, I really don't like to put name on what I do, because what I do, I think, is like so different, at least for me. So for me, what I do with horses is like try to be a horse. I've been with horses like all my life and with animals, and I really know how to be an animal because my life goes with it. Since when I was young, I've been with a lot of different horses in herd, outside, and I think if you don't learn how they deal with each other, you cannot get along with them. So when I go inside them, the most important thing that I have to do is like just be a horse. And being a horse is sometimes weird to see from outside, because sometimes I do weird things that if I see from outside in videos, David, what are you doing there? But I feel it, and I go for it, and the most important feedback is not what anyone from outside thinks. The most important feedback that I have is like the horse, and horses tell me, okay, we can go. This is fun.
Yeah, and we can see that they are also getting your attention when you are playing with them. Yeah. They also start to focus on you.
Yeah.
Because they could be unconnected. They are looking for their friend. Someone was smashing the door.
Yeah.
It was a lot of snow going off the roof. Yeah. that part is the dangerous game, you know.
Yeah,
but. But when you are starting to play with them, they also start to focus with you.
Yeah. And of course, what I tell you this afternoon, another thing that it's super important for me is like with horses, you have to let things happen. Sometimes we want to create like the perfect environment to train a horse, to everything must be in calm, everything must be perfect. And if you show me training, everything must be in no calm, everything. I mean, keep it natural, because life is not easy, and we train them sometimes in a super easy environment. And for me, it's not about this. So I let things happen. I let them do what they feel, and I do what I feel. So at one point, we connect to each other.
And that's also a good kind of training for the sport, because, you know, when you're coming out to the competitions, it's a new arena. It can be flowers, it could be flags, it could be a messy environment, you know, on the warm-up, and also at the parking, you know.
Yeah.
So for me to see that they can focus when it's still going snow off the roof, or someone is smashing the door, someone is coming in, they're knocking, you know, and they keep the focus. That is very important for the sport later on.
Yeah.
So it's a very good training already now.
Yeah, and I think also we are talking about just starting new horses, but I think that you saw that in horses that are super trained, this is a good training also. And it's not about what we see on the internet, like about moving a bag and do this kind of unnatural situation. For me, I do something really specific that it's helping the horse in a lot of different situations. So if you have a horse that you're training and it's super good, but when you open the door, for example, and another horse has to come in, the horse completely focus on this door and start moving his body in the wrong way, he's giving you feedback. And with this feedback, you can keep on going with the training you have, or you can try to go home and think what I'm missing and go for it. And for me, this is the thing. It's super important, because at one point, for sure, you will have this feedback again. And if it's in a competition, you can fail a lot, right?
Yeah, so for me, it's very important to build up this confidence in an own focused environment. You know, they could be unfocused, but it should be a shortened time until they focus again.
That's it. And for me, when a horse is not focused, the worst thing you can do is punish him.
Yeah.
There are so many ways to focus a horse when he's not focused, and it's about movement, everything. It's about timing, and it's about doing the right thing. And when you do this, his ears go back to you super clear and super easy. And I think it's about this. For sure, it's not about punishment. When they are not focusing, you cannot tell them, please focus on me. You have
to
deserve this focus again, right?
Yeah, and for me, I think it's more about starting to move their body again, that they're not standing still and just looking at the situation. You need to get going, you know.
Is a typical mistake we do. It's like when something happens, we stop the horses. And for me, when something happens and the horse has this instinct that makes them want to run. Sometimes we have to let them run in a safe way and just redirect this energy. But for me, stopping a horse when the horse wants to run is blocking an emotion, and this emotion will stay there for the future and will come back, you know?
Yeah, and it can also be actually a bit worse next time, you know? It's a bigger explosion.
Of course, because when they are young, the small horses, small problems. Big horses, big problems.
Yeah. For sure. And we also had some different build-ups in the round pen. Some horses were together and some horses were alone. When do you decide, like, this one can be with three other horses or this one should be alone?
So the most important thing here is, like, if it's safe to put horses together. If they are in a herd together, they can come together and I can train. Sometimes I do that a lot in my place. I bring like 4 or 5 horses in the arena and I take one, even if it's the sport part or not only this natural part, you know. But I really like to do that because then you are creating an environment where the most easiest thing is like focus outside and I want them to focus in me. So if I'm able to focus, make them focus in me when the dogs are running, when there are other horses running or just laying down. Or this is super important for me. This is like this that can look like a mess from outside. For me, it's just a natural mess because they have it every day. And you feel the horses when they were with other horses. I don't know what you feel. I make you this question. Did you feel something good?
Yeah, but I felt for one thing is that they feel comfortable if they have been in the same herd and you know that they are getting together. Because we took some horses from the same herd and we said that, no, this one isn't really the best connection, even if they are in the same herd, so we take it out. And that's very interesting to see how they actually are more comfortable in the work when they have their friends with them. But also, I see on the other horses that they are looking, some of them in some periods, they are looking at the other horse. And I felt like they may be looking and learning and it was easier to begin with other.
Yeah, maybe. And also, again, you have to be flexible. For me, there's not a rule that if horses are in herds, you can bring all of them to the arena. And at the end, it's like have the instinct. Today is a good day to put horses together. Maybe not tomorrow. Maybe again the next day. For me, it's about being flexible, doing new things, and try to discover more things about horses. It's, at the end, what I do is like try to learn from them. So I try to do new situations, and maybe one day I can say, I'm wrong. I won't do this anymore. And it's not a bad mistake. It's just learning.
Yeah, we said that. That was the like meaning of the whole weekend. Like, you don't do a mistake. You are learning from it.
At the end, of course, when you are professional, I think that your mistakes are not bad for the horses. Of course, we do mistakes always, but I think that our mistakes are not blocking for the horses. Are not really dangerous for the horses. So we have to do mistakes, and we have to. For me, we have to go out of the environment that we know, that the traditional training, if you like horses and if you like the animal, you have to do the things you feel. And sometimes you have no reason to do a specific thing, but I invite you to go for it and do what you feel. And I saw you standing up on horses today, so so maybe we are creating a monster.
Therefore, you need to go home now before we go home. More crazy.
But we'll go back soon.
Yeah, I really enjoyed having you here for the weekend. I'm really thankful for you coming here and very thankful for sharing your knowledge in our podcast. And I hope Emilia also enjoyed to listen to all this and everyone that listened to this now. I'm really happy for that. And I'm looking very much forward to you coming here next time. I hope it will be soon.
Super, Cecilia. It was a pleasure for me to be able to work your horses. I'm super proud of the how you trust me to give me these big good horses to train, and I have to say thank you to you and to your family because you see my face now. No one sees it, but I'm super happy to have been here these days and working with you.
Yeah, thank you so much for everything.
Thank you so much.
And Tack så jättemycket till er alla som har lyssnat idag. Jag älskar att vi fick till att David kunde nämna mitt hjärtas fröjd och eviga längtan. Han har blivit väldigt inspirerad av Love is Blind här, och vi ser verkligen fram emot att han kommer till Sverige återigen och delar med sig av sin kunskap och sitt fina horsemanship. Så tusen tack för att ni har lyssnat, och på återseende!
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.